Know who Rabbi Jonathan Cahn is. I was listening to him, a deal he was talking about. And he was talking about harbingers, you know, and those are warnings. And he was talking about this, what you were talking, it's not a time to fear. But what it is, it's a time for repentance. And he said, like in 9/11, he said the churches were flooded with people after 9/11, but there was no repentance. And he said, and he read the scripture, and I think it was in Isaiah. I'll have to look it up. But he's talking about how, he was talking about Israel, and we know that as Israel goes, you know, we can watch it, and how when they were going against the things of God, how they had plagues and stuff come against them. And what it was, it wasn't to punish them, but it was to call the people back. And he said, that's, you know, right now, that's what is we're up against right now. America has in a lot of ways, has went away from the things of God. I mean, you know, we've tried to get, a lot of politicians have tried to get him out of our school systems. And so if we get asking him, try to get him out of our school systems, then every time we kick him out of something, that blessing goes away too. It's just like Isaac, you know, when he dug the wells, and they thought, well, he's hit water here, we'll run him off of this one, and he'd go dig another well. Well, he hit water again, so we'll run him off. Then they got enough wells that they thought, man, we got plenty of water. So they said, you get out of here. This is just my translation. And he left. But what happened? The blessing left. And what happened? They ended up coming back to Isaac and say, hey, you know, now this is my translation. Out of our stupidity, we run you off, and the blessing left also. And that's the thing, what America needs to do right now. God's calling us back to Him. And the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if they'll turn from their wicked ways. Will you look at 9/11, what this nation was like? 9/11. Look where it's at today. That's why you say there wasn't no repentance. Because, I mean, 9/11, people flocked into churches. But, I mean, look, in 9/11, we didn't have the gay rights and the gay pride pushing it down our throats and so much against the church. But now we do. So let's see, that's what I said. This is a time for calling back. I mean, and we don't have anything to be afraid of. As the body of Christ, we don't have anything to be afraid of. Now, the world, they really don't have anything to be afraid of if they'll turn to the Lord. Because we know that God says that He desires that none should perish, but all should come to the glory of God. So I'll pray and then I'll get started. Well, Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You that Your Word is true. Father, I thank You that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Father, and that You have anointed me to preach the good news. And Father, I thank You that You are present here today. And Father, I thank You that Your anointing is flowing freely. And I thank You that what I have to say from You, Father, comes out with clarity. And Father, we just thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been talking about covenant. And you and I are heirs of a covenant. In Galatians 3:30, it says, and if you be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What according to what promise? According to every promise that God made in the Bible. I mean, the Bible is nothing but promises. Okay? Deuteronomy 31, 6, verse 6 and verse 8, it says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, and the Lord, He it is that doeth go before thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, or neither be dismayed. Here's the thing. When we understand our covenant, with God, we don't have nothing to be afraid of. That's what you guys was talking the other day. Nicole had a horse. She was wanting to breed it to a horse I had out there, and she took it to the vet, okay? And the veterinarian told her, well, said, that horse is trying to absorb that fetus. I told Nicole, I said, that's under the curse. We got a better covenant. If you read in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about we'll be fruitful. Our cattle will be fruitful. So that's just, see, we need to become covenant-minded. Instead, see, the world, it lives in such a negative place. I mean, it's not hard for somebody to talk negative to you. I mean, that's kind of how the world goes. But the thing about it is, we're set apart and we need to become covenant-minded. You know, that's what Terry and I was talking about. You know, think about this. When Abram, before God cut covenant with him, his name was Abram. And Sarah's name was Sarai, okay? And so we know that when in the covenant, blood covenant, we know that, you know, I read a couple weeks ago how first of all you change your coats, right? So what did Jesus do? He took off his coat, his robe of righteousness, and gave it to us when we asked Christ into our heart. What did we take off? We took off our robe of unrighteousness, and he took it to the cross, okay? So, and then whenever before he went to the cross, he took every sickness and every disease upon himself. Okay, that's part of that robe of righteousness. In order for us to receive our healing, the main thing that we have to believe is we're righteous enough to have it. It's not about what I'm going to do or what do I need to do. It's about what's been done for me. And it's a blood covenant. And the more we understand our covenant relationships, the more it removes the doubt as to whether God wants us to take His promises and stand on them or not. Whenever we understand the blood covenant, we won't pray, well, God, if it be your will. We'll pray God's will. And what is God's will? By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. What is the blood covenant when it looks like we don't have enough? No. Father, your word says that I'll have all sufficiency in all things to do every good work that you've called me to do. Just like Nicole, that horse. When Nicole, she's got two things to stand on to get a colt out of that horse. One is her tither's rights. She's a tither, and it says the Lord will rebuke the devourer for her sake. Now you might think, well, that's just a horse. No, that affects everything in our life. It doesn't matter if it's a dog, a cat, a horse, or us. The covenant affects everything in our life. That's why God said, I have set before you this day life and death, blessing and curse. You choose. It's up to us to choose it. It's been set before us, and we get an opportunity to choose it. That's why we need to turn the way we think around. Because we have been programmed to not think blessed. We've been programmed to think the very worst. I know you'll find this hard to believe, but whenever they'd call me into the principal's office when I was in school, I'd have, well, what have I done wrong now? Because I never did anything wrong. But you see, you always think the worst. But see, that's the devil trying to make us think. If a symptom comes on us, like this coronavirus, it isn't nothing to be afraid of. I'm not the least bit afraid of. Here's the deal. The Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. That's past tense. So I don't have anything to be afraid of any virus or anything that comes down the pike or whatever because of my covenant with God. But every one of you are born again in here, aren't you? Then every one of you've got the same covenant that I do. It's just like the thing. Anybody can train a horse, just like I do. Yeah, you can. But you, I mean, you have to want to do it. You know what I'm saying? You have to believe that you can do it. I mean, you come out there and ride one of my horses, they'll react to you just like they react to me. One of our older horses, you know what I'm saying? So, and here's the deal. We got two horses out at the house right now that one of them had never been rode, and the other one had been rode some, but the way we started doing it, you know, we just saddled up our old horses and we ponied them and got them used to the saddle and stuff, and then we got them, no buck. They haven't bucked. One of them laid down with me and tried to roll over with me, but I just tied him up, got back on him. But the thing about it is, when you know how to do it, you can do it. Same thing, how do we walk in the covenant? It says, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Okay, what knowledge do you need to know in order to walk in the blessing of the covenant, in the new covenant? What do you need to know? That Jesus shed his blood for you. That's all you need to know. All you need to know to walk in divine health is that by the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. Terry asked me the other day, the boys was riding. Terry said, how long did it take you to teach the boys how to saddle a horse? I said, I don't remember ever teaching them to saddle a horse. But they've been around it all their life. They've seen me saddle a horse. So it just, they just seen it and they just knew how to do it. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so here's the deal. As the body of Christ, you know, God's going to teach us how to walk in the blessing. And the thing about it is, we so many times try to make it so hard, but it's really so easy. You know, I was talking about whenever the blood covenant is made, you know, we know that Abram took the animals and he cut them in half and laid them open. And that's the walkway of blood, okay? And you know, God walked through that. Well, Abraham walked through it too. And we know that there was a name change. Abram went from Abram to Abraham. Sarah went from Sarah to Sarah. Abraham, A-B-A-M, went from A-B-A-H-A-M. A-H is part of God's name. Yahweh. Sarai, H-A-R-I. Change, H-A-R-A-H, Sarah. Part of God's name. So when God changed her name and his name, she was 90 years old at the time she had Isaac. But think about this. I didn't really study it out, but I don't know when that covenant was made. You know, I think it was made when, like, Abram was like 99 years old, because that's when he was circumcised, right? Okay. So that covenant was made, and you remember the angel told Sarah, this time next year, you'll have a son, okay? That was a son of promise. Okay, but think about this. That covenant that God cut with Abraham and Sarah took a 90-year-old woman whose womb had been dead all of her life. And it made it fruitful. It took a woman who at 99 years old, it reversed the aging process. Because she was, it says, beyond childbearing years. So it had to reverse the aging process back to childbearing years. You see what I'm saying? So whenever you get to thinking about the things, well, that's not possible. All things are possible to those who believe. So when God enters covenant with us, he did it for a specific reason. What is that? What that cut with the covenant that God cut with Abram was to bring the human race back to the position it was when Adam was in the garden. See, Adam and Eve didn't want for nothing. Everything that they would ever need, if you read in Genesis about the book of creation, if you read, Adam was not created till everything else was. Everything was already provided before Adam was created. Okay. So our new covenant is the same way. Before you or I were ever born, everything that we ever would have need of was provided for us. The cross. Not only at the cross, but in the tomb, in hell, and then the day of Pentecost. See, that blood covenant that God cut with Abraham is pale in comparison with the covenant that he cut with us. Because you think about the Abrahamic covenant, was Abraham blessed beyond measure? I don't remember reading how in the Bible where it talks about how sick Abraham was and how he just barely got along and how he was just barely making ends meet. Has anybody read that? It says he was rich, what? In silver and gold and cattle. And he had land. And the thing about this, he was so confident in the covenant that he had that whenever strife started to enter in with Lot and Abraham's sheep herders and herdsmen, Abraham said, I'm not having that. He said, Lot, you just take wherever you want, and I'll take the other. What was Abraham looking at? His covenant. He knew that it didn't matter where he went, that God promised him to be blessed. So it says, if you read it, it says, Lot, you know, pick Sodom, and that was a fertile area. I mean, it was green and fertile. And in the natural, Abraham got the rest, the worst. But who did the blessing follow? Abraham, not Lot. Why did it follow Abraham instead of Lot? The covenant was cut with Abraham, not Lot. Lot wasn't smart enough to know that he was leaving the blessing. See, the covenant was cut with you and you alone. Every one of you. There's not anyone in here that's asked Christ in their heart that covenant has not been cut with you. There's not any sickness or any disease that belongs to you. There's not any bit of lack that belongs to you. Why? Because you're under a covenant. And the Bible says if the first covenant would have been so good, he wouldn't have had to cut the second covenant, right? And the first covenant was cut with the paid for with the blood of what? Bulls and goats. But the covenant that you live under is in the blood of his own son. And that blood made you a joint heir with Christ Jesus. But did Jesus lack for anything? You know, when he had just a few fish and there's 5,000 there that's hungry? Jesus didn't say, oh, crap, I don't want no more. I'm going to feed them. He took the two fish and the loaves, and what did he depend on? The covenant. He held it up and he blessed it. He knew that his Father was a Father that would supply all that he had need of. What did he have need of? To feed the multitude. And God, the way God is, he just gives you enough to get by. 12 baskets left over. Not little bitty baskets like what Ari was carrying, but big baskets. See, that's the thing. We have got to change the way we think. And the devil wants you to be poverty-minded, and he wants you to think about sickness and disease. And God says, you don't need to think about that. What's he say? Cast your cares over on me. I'm the one that cares for you. I've already took care of you. So whenever something, you know, comes up that the devil wants us to react to, the best thing we can do is never change expressions Not the least bit moved. You know, Hebrews 6, 13 through 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Surely, blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So see, the thing about it is, the devil, he tries to get us, if we're believing for something, finances, hey, Sam, turn that thermostat down. Put it on about 65 and give Deb a blanket. Yeah, well, you're going to have to put it back on because I'm sweating. But, you know, so many times when we believe for something, believing for finances or for health and healing, and we think when it don't happen quickly, what do? We get discouraged. That's what the devil tries to do. He tries to discourage us. I mean, if he can get us discouraged, then he can defeat us. You know, it's like I was telling about, you know, basketball so far in the past. But remember me telling you about when we went and watched Greenwood and Hartville play? And Greenwood was supposed to just, really, they wasn't supposed to be beat. Well, here's what we were talking about. Hartville didn't know they wasn't supposed to win. And in the first quarter, whenever Hartville was ahead of Greenwood, Greenwood still had a little bit of hope. But in the middle of the second quarter, Greenwood looked like there ain't nothing we can do to defeat them. You could just see the way they looked defeated. And see, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get us to feel hopeless. You know, even when Greenwood got ahead, they still didn't feel like they was going to win. You see, that's what the devil, he tries to, whenever he can affect, he cannot keep a prayer from coming to pass. It says God looks over his word to what? Perform. God's word's true. The only way that the devil can defeat us is if we give up on the word. And that's what the devil does. He tries to come to steal the word. What he does, he tries to come to steal the confidence that we have in the word. He can't steal the word. He tries to steal the confidence. So, you know, just think about this. Do you think that after God cut covenant with Abraham, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah, do you think there was still doubt in their mind that they would conceive a son of promise? Well, yeah, in the natural, yeah. Because the devil, what's he doing? He's trying to steal the promise. That's why God gives us, he'll give us things like, he'll give us things that, he'll show us things to hold on to. There's not anyone in here that's not believing for something that I guarantee you, you have not had a picture of victory. It don't matter what it is. If you're believing for your health, I'll guarantee you God has given you a picture of divine health. If you're believing for restoration in your family, I'll guarantee you the Lord's give you a picture of victory in that situation. Now, it may not go the way you expect it to go. Why is that? Because the devil's trying to steal your word. God gave you a word of victory. Every one of us, there's not any person in the body of Christ that was created to lose. We weren't created to be defeated. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? So, when we understand our covenant, we'll know just exactly how eager God is to keep that covenant with us. I mean, the covenant that God cut with us when we accepted Christ is on the forefront of all of his thinking all the time. And just to be sure that the promises will mean as much to us as they do to God, he told us to keep his word in the center of our hearts. And even before our eyes, he told us to meditate on it day and night. Talk about it and think about it continually. Whenever the devil sends a symptom, whether it be lack or sickness, what is the devil trying to do to us? He's trying to get us to meditate on the symptom day and night. Whether it be lack, whether it be restored relationships, it doesn't matter what it is. The devil knows what God's word says. God says, you meditate on my word day and night. The devil knows that. So that's why he tries to get us to meditate on his symptoms or his lies day and night. The devil's a liar. And like I told you last week, there's a guy that was telling me something. He said, and I said, well, I don't believe anything you say because 95% of everything you say is a lie. I'm not going to believe you. And I was telling Nicole, I said, if that guy's stupid enough to think I'm going to believe him, why shouldn't I be bold enough to tell him I don't believe him? Same way at the devil. If you get that attitude and the devil starts telling you a lie, say, devil, I don't believe a word you say. You're a liar and everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie. I have divine health because Jesus paid for it. I don't care what you say. I'm not buying it. Whenever he says, well, you're not going to have enough money to pay your bills. Satan, you're a liar. And the Bible says you're the father of lies. You can't tell the truth. So when the devil's telling you what he wants you to believe, you got to know that your breakthroughs are just about there. Because what's he doing? He's perverting the word. That's what he does. You know, Deuteronomy 30 was written to the heirs of the covenant. I mean, just write that down and you can read it later. But God made covenant with Abraham to give them an unchangeable written statement of God's will for them and his desire to bless them. He was telling his people that he didn't want them to live under the curse. He wanted them to be blessed. So he told them how they could walk in the blessing. And that there is, meditate on my word day and night. Okay? Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. See, we know that under the old covenant, we know that circumcision was a sign of the old covenant. And we also know the Bible says that was in Deuteronomy 30 talking about the circumcision of the heart. And if you follow that, I mean, there's a whole lot of scriptures in the Old Testament talking about the circumcision of the heart. See, that what's that doing? That's showing you something to come. The only way, the way that we're born into the body of Christ is what? Through the circumcision of our heart, right? Okay, it doesn't matter in the natural whether you're circumcised or not. As long as your heart's circumcised, that's what makes you an heir to God. Okay? So, to be blessed, God wants us to be blessed and to come out from under the curse. But the only way we can do that is we have to change our way of thinking. Because the devil, whenever Adam fell, like I said last week, God never cursed Adam and Eve. He cursed Satan. And Satan, we know that Satan became the god of this world, right? So when he cursed Satan, who is the god of this world, when man served the god of this world, what's going on? What are they... The curse is going to follow it. You see what I'm saying? That's why God, that's why God tells us not to sin. It's because whenever we do, He knows that the curse follows. Because we're following the devil. We either follow one or two people, right? God or the devil. The blessing or the curse. That's why He says, I set before you this day, life and death. The devil's death, God's life. Blessing or cursing? Blessings God, curses the devil. So here's the deal. And people say, well, I don't think that there's nothing I can do. That's just the way I was made. No, it's not. God created you in His image. God gave you dominion and authority over all the works of the enemy. How do we overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's just like I told that boy. 95% of what you say is a lie. I'm not believing you. So how do we overcome the devil? When he says you're going to be sick enough. No, you're a liar. The blood of Jesus has overcome that sickness. And I'll live and not die. We've got to open our mouths. We've got to be bold. And here, I'm going to tell you something. The body of Christ is going to have to get a hold of the blessing. You're going to have to get a hold of the blood of Jesus that's been applied to you. Because here's the deal. The coronavirus ain't the last thing that's going to attack the United States. I didn't say the Christians. I said the United States. But here's the deal. If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves and pray, all heal their land. Is it too late for America to be blessed? No. God's calling us back. Come back. I mean, you look how wicked that Israel got. I mean, they were sacrificing their babies to Moloch. That's not any different than abortion. Same thing. But what happened? Whenever they turned back to God, the blessing come back on them. See what I'm saying? See, and our covenant is far greater than the old covenant because our covenant is a covenant of grace, covenant of mercy. Now, if you sin and decide to live continually sin, you'll have to answer for some of your things that you've done. I mean, that's the law, the natural law. It's like playing Russian roulette. You put a bullet in a cylinder of a gun and you spin it and you stick it to your head and pull the trigger. Law's the average, that bullet's going to go off. You know what I'm saying? So the thing about it, whenever we step out in faith, we may fall flat on our face. But you know what? God's right there. To do this like Glenn and Jean Eshry and pick you up out of the cattle guard in the mud. But you know what? That's how God is. It doesn't matter how many times we fall. What matters is do we keep getting back up? Because you weren't created to fail. You were created to walk in the blessing. That's why the devil does everything he can do to destroy the family, to destroy the church, because he knows how strong family is. The church is family. Why, we're the body of Christ. We're not individuals. We're the body of Christ. Okay? And it said, the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all the beasts of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust thou shalt eat, and all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise. Who shall bruise? It, this woman's seed, Jesus, shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. See, and the devil wasn't smart enough to know that God was telling him, you're getting ready to get a butt whipping that you ain't going to forget. That's what God was telling. But see, the devil, he wasn't smart enough. Because it also talks about if the devil would have only known, he wouldn't have crucified Christ. Well, that's why we got to know what was given up, what Jesus gave up for us. Because the fall separated the human race from God and joined it to the devil, that's what brought the curse on the earth. So the thing about whenever tornadoes come and earthquakes come and hail and stuff like that, you know, the big hailstones and stuff, when that comes, they say, well, that's an act of God. No, it's not. That's part of the curse that's on the earth. God's not the destroyer. He's the blesser. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So that Jesus was manifest so he could destroy the works of the devil. What are those works of the devil? Sickness? Death? That Bible says we have eternal life, right? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So if it's not under the curse, all you got to do is read Deuteronomy 28. If you want to know what is for you, read 1 through 14. If you want to know what's against you, read 15 through 68 or 64. And that's under the curse. The curse does not belong to us. And how many people, well, it's just like somebody, they got diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. They made the statement. They've already defeated cancer, but they made the statement, well, I finally know what's going to kill me. Well, that, as Brother Hagin say, that's ignorance gone to seed. I mean, you've already defeated cancer. Everybody else thinks cancer is the death sentence. What's cirrhosis of the liver? It ain't nothing. We've got to change the way we think. And see, religion has taught people, well, you never know what God's going to do. Yeah, you do, if you read the Bible. The thing about it is, just think about that. God wants us so blessed. He wants us so healthy that He sent Jesus. That, you know, at Easter, we kind of put up a clip of the Passion of the Christ. And that didn't even start to compare with how bloody it was and how mutilated and tore up that Jesus' body was. But how many people seen the Passion of the Christ? If you close your eyes, what do you see when you think about it? The blood that was shed. It's what you see, right? That blood was shed that you could walk in the blessing. So here's the deal. You know, you heard me talk about how when my back was healed and I laid down and all I could see was Jesus at that whipping post. And He wasn't even tied up. That's what I seen. And He was taking those stripes on His back for me. I mean, like I say, you know, blood's got a voice. That's why Marilyn Hickey said, blood has a voice. She said, when Cain killed Abel, what? Abel's blood cried out. Whenever we have a symptom on our body of sickness or lack, and we apply the blood to it, Jesus' blood has a voice. The devil can't cross that. That's why, you know, one Sunday night, Stephanie and Larry and I were up here praying. Stephanie went around and anointed all the doors. There ain't nothing can come in here. You can't cross the blood. See, whenever the blood was applied at Passover, that's why the coronavirus, you know, they were talking about it hit in late February, March, somewhere in there, but it started dying in April. When did it start dying? Passover. The blood was applied at Passover. But see, here's the deal. The devil wants to continue to try to keep the fear level up. If you want to defeat the coronavirus, turn your TV off. And because the Bible says that every sickness and every disease has already been paid for. You know, the devil is doing everything he can do to affect this earth. Because here's the deal. You and I, as the body of Christ, have got a job to do. Every one of us was called. There's not anyone in here that's not called for something. And every one of us in here can affect the lives of a person that we come in contact with. We'll either affect them negatively or positively. I mean, here's the deal. What would happen if somebody come up to me and said, Gavin, I need you to pray for so-and-so. And I said, well, you know, God, sometimes He'll heal him and sometimes He won't. When I pray, I don't know if He'll answer your prayer or not. Now, is that being Christ-like? See, whenever we pray according to His Word. If I don't have the sense of how to pray, all I got to pray is say, Lord, according to 1 Peter 2:24, says, you were wounded for my transgressions, you were bruised for my iniquity, and by His stripes ye are healed. I don't have to have a real long prayer. What I got to do? Speak the Word. Gavin's Word isn't what heals you. The Bible says the Lord sent His Word and healed them. The thing to give them is the Word. Now here's the deal. Whenever I pray for someone according to God's Word, I've applied the Word, laid hands on them, and walk away. I don't have to pray again. What I do is I thank Him for their healing. Okay? I don't pray from a place of fear. I pray from a place of authority. That's how every one of us need to pray. Whenever Jake and Sam or I get on a horse, we don't get on the back of that horse that's never been rode in fear. We get on that horse with authority. We know that it don't matter if that horse bucks. It don't matter if it tries to fall over backwards with it. We've been given dominion and authority over that horse. And see, so many Christians have been taught all wrong that, well, God heals some and some He don't. No, God heals them all. It said He healed all who came, right? So when we apply the Word to that situation, it doesn't matter if it's healing, finances, relationships, or what. When we apply that Word, what's the Bible say? He's always looking over His Word to perform it. And see, that's like Deb. Her mom had knee surgery. Okay, she called me the other day and asked me if I could pray for her. And I prayed a short prayer. It was, her sodium level was too low. Too low. I just prayed, Lord, you know what that sodium level needs to be? And we have been given dominion and authority over everything. I command or demand that sodium level to come up to where it needs to be. In the name of Jesus, amen. I can talk for 30 minutes or an hour, and it ain't going to do no good. But whenever I say what God's Word says, I have released the power of God into that situation. And that's why it's important. My opinion don't mean nothing. God's Word means everything. Hebrews 10:19-20. It says, Terry, read that, would you? Can you read it? No, can you read it from up there?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't got it? Okay. Hebrews 10:19-20. Okay. Yeah.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Okay. So here's the deal. How can we enter boldly into the holy of holies, into the throne room of grace? By knowing that we are righteous. By knowing that what God's word says is true. You know, whenever God cut covenant with Abraham, it says that Abraham didn't consider his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. So whenever I get up here to minister, how can I speak boldly of the things of God? I know it has nothing to do with me. You know, it has everything to do with what God's called me to do, with what He's anointed me to do. Now, I could get up here and I could talk and give you my opinion on things, but like I say, my opinion isn't going to heal you. My opinion isn't going to set you free from anything. But God's Word will break every yoke and destroy every chain that the devil tries to hold us with. I got wrote down here, for new covenant believers, we have a new way of living according to Hebrews 10:20. We can not only walk in the ways of God, but we can walk in the way with God. And that way, what I'm talking about, is that walk way of blood, okay? So, and we can walk through the Passover portals. And that's the entrances, the gates, or the doorways into the blessing, okay? Of the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us. How can we walk in to health and healing when we're walking in that pathway of blood with the Lord? See, whenever we pray, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We're walking in that way of blood. Jesus' blood. You see what I'm saying? When we're by the stripes of Jesus, what came out of His stripes? Blood. So whenever I'm walking through that, and the devil's trying to steal my health, and I say, Satan, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I'm walking in the blood with God, with Jesus. See, we sit at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. We have to see ourselves like that. Why the right hand, why is it so important? Because the right hand is a place of authority. Okay? And we know that whenever we apply the blood of Jesus to our situation, we're hitting right where God has got on the forefront of His mind. Because He's always mindful of the blood that His Son shed. That blood's so precious to God. I mean, He's always thinking. Whenever we apply the blood, God's watching over that blood. That blood was valuable. That's why whenever the blood was put over the doorpost at Passover, the death angel couldn't enter in. And He didn't look in there and say, well, is there anybody in here that's unrighteous? He was looking for the blood. So whenever we plead the blood of Jesus over our family, and we apply the blood, the devil's not looking to see if they're righteous or not. The devil's looking at the blood. You see what I'm saying? So the blood is important. And that's why I say we have to have confidence in what God's Word says. Like Abraham, we have to become fully persuaded. Okay? All throughout the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, God was trying to get across to His people how much He loved them and how desperately He wanted to bless them. And you heard me talk about God's hesed. That's God's love. There's no way, there's no definition for it. The closest definition for hesed is the Greek word agape. But that doesn't even describe exactly how much God loves us. And you know, that's Larry and Stephanie and I was talking. This is not anything that thus saith the Lord, but made the comment the other day, you know, I just thought, you know how come I think that hesed can't be described? Because if you could define it, you could limit God's love. I mean, so the walkway of blood is the walkway between the two animal halves that Abraham and God cut. And like I said, Abraham and God exchanged names. Abram took part of God's name and became Abraham. Well, when we ask Christ into our heart, we took part of Christ's name, right? We became a Christian, right? So whenever we did that, whenever Abraham and God cut covenant and Abram went from Abram to Abraham, and then they made promises. God says, if you, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, says, you know, if you turn, would you turn there, Terry? Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Yeah.
Now it shall come to pass that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed
See, I mean, how many times you hear people say, well, it doesn't matter what I do, I can't get ahead. Or, yeah, I mean, man, everything I do falls apart. Or, I mean, I don't ever have enough money to get through. What are they talking? What are they curse-minded? How should you and I react when lack looks like we don't have enough? God, your word says that everything I put my hand to is blessed. We are to start saying, my storehouse is running over. That's not your bank account. That's not your checking account. That's your savings account, your storehouse. I mean, you should be saying, I've got so much stored up, I can't give it away fast enough. God can't have me give so much away that it'll ever deplete my storehouse. Whenever we're got a symptom of sickness, is that your enemy? Well, my enemies may come at me one way, but God says He'll defeat. He's already defeated every sickness and every, and it'll flee from you seven ways. See? Everything that you put your hand to is blessed. But because we live in a fallen world, I mean, there are more people talk about not having or talk about the curse than they ever do talk about the blessing. You're supposed to be a peculiar person. And you start talking the blessing, you'll get real peculiar. People think, man, what wagon's this old boy fell off of? But that's how you're supposed to be. What's it say? That people will call you. Just my chosen generation or something like that. But see, when we start talking about the blessing, what do we do? When we start talking about what God's Word says about us, who's looking over their Word to perform it? God is. So when I start saying what God says about, man, I just can't get behind. You know, I mean, everything I do is blessed. I mean, instead of saying, I don't have any idea how I'm going to do it. Lord, your Word says that all that I put my hands to is blessed. The Bible also says if anyone needs wisdom, all they have to do is ask. Well, the devil wants you to think, well, there ain't no way I can figure this out. But God says if you need wisdom, ask for it. He says you'll have all sufficiency in all things to do every good work that He's called you to do. So, you know, whenever God calls us to do something, the devil says, you might ought to be careful there. Because you don't know what's going to happen. If God, I mean, I'm saying we need to be sure that we hear from God. You know what I'm saying? But when God tells us to do something, He's already provided a way for it to be done. I mean, God has got so much in store for this church. I started to say little church, but it ain't little. But God's got so much in store for this church. There's no way that we can do what God's called us to do with a natural way of thinking. We've got to think with God's thinking. We got the just shall live by faith. Who in here is just? Everybody in here's hand should have went up. So there's you. It says without faith it's impossible to please God. Everyone in here is pleasing God if you're walking in faith. I mean, we use faith every day anyway. We're either going to believe that the coronavirus is going to get us or the blood of Jesus is going to save us. Where's our faith at? And that's why it's so important that we don't get in fear. Because I think it's Kenneth Copeland says, fear is faith contaminated. That's what, you know, that's like when Sam, when he was little and he was riding them steers, Jake asked him, said, Sam, are you afraid? Sam said, no. There ain't nothing we need to be afraid of. You know, that's what Ari and the Jake and Sam, they'll throw him back and forth. And he'll just cackle. He hadn't been taught to be afraid of it being dropped yet. Now what would happen if Lauren, every time they did that, they said, oh, Ari, now you need to be careful, or they might drop you. What'd start happening? He'd start holding on. And that's why whenever he was riding Hawk, his feet can't reach his stirrups. And Lauren said, Hawk got the bucking. Didn't throw Ari off. Ari was not afraid of Hawk. The next day he rode him again. See, that's why the devil wants us to be afraid of our failures. Well, you weren't created to fail. And actually, it doesn't matter how many times a boxer gets knocked down. If he always gets back up before the eight count, he's always got a chance to win. And that's the way us. Whenever we fall, the main thing is get back up. Whenever it doesn't work the way we think it should, we don't need to get so wound up and, well, it didn't work this way, or how's God going to do this? What we need to be concerned about is, God, your word said that it's going to work out. You see, so many times we kind of get a picture the way that it's going to go. And if it doesn't go that way, what do? We get discouraged, bent out of shape. It's just like this morning. Everybody in here, when that song started playing, started worshiping, and it stopped. We could have got bent out of shape. We could have got all wound up about it and not allowed the Spirit of the Lord to move. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? We kept worshiping. You know, we sang a couple of songs. And it's just like the Lord gave us a word, just like He does when the music's working and everything's going the way we think it should go. That's why we got to get to the point where ain't nothing going to move us. You know what I'm saying? You know, when that horse laid down with me the other day, I wasn't moved. The only reason I was moved is trying to get my leg out from under him before he rolled over on it. But whenever I got him back up, I got back on him. Well, the other day we were starting to ride him. Jake was on one horse and I was on that horse. And that horse, I'd say, whoever rode him before, whenever that horse would get to the point it didn't want to do nothing, it'd lay down. And that person rolled over. Well, it tried to lay down with Sam. We all ride with spurs. Sam hit it with the spurs. It got up. Well, I got to ride it the other day, and it was going to lay down. Jake said, that horse is going to lay down again with you. I hit him with my spurs. He stood up. See, what's happening? That's so much like what that horse had got into a habit, a bad habit. See, that's how many, so many times that's what we do. We get into a bad habit. And see, that was just subconscious in that horse's mind that, well, if I don't want to do this, if I'll lay down, that person on my back's going to get off. Well, he never had been to the sow household yet. And see, that's the way the devil needs to be with us. He ain't ever come in contact with anybody like us before. You know. And whenever he tries to get us to lay down and tries to get fear to rise up in us, what do? Spur him. Kick him, tell him. He's under your feet. Just kick him. Stomp his head. I mean, we've been given dominion and authority over him. There's nothing that he can do to defeat us when we see ourselves as the head, not the tail. You know, that I'll close with this. Psalms 91 is a soldier's prayer. And I remember Kenneth Copeland talking about the lieutenant. I think he was a second lieutenant in Vietnam. And I can't remember if he was in the cavalry or what he was in, but he was in the infantry. And the unit that he had suffered more casualties than any unit at that time. And that lieutenant went in and he taught his soldiers Psalms 91 to the point that if he said Psalms 91:2, that soldier could tell him what that song. You know what happened to the death rate in that unit? It went down here. So it's proven fact that Psalms 91 can protect whole units in battle. I mean, if you want to know about the covenant of God, how could one man in David's army kill 800 soldiers? He was covenant-minded. He knew it didn't matter how many the enemies come at him, that the battle wasn't just his, but God would defeat him. And they'd flee from him seven ways. That's why David, whenever he went after Goliath, he was following the covenant. I mean, that's what David said, "You uncircumcised Philistine." He knew that Goliath didn't have a covenant, and he did. That's how we need to react to the devil. When the devil tries to bring something to us, sickness, lack, a broken relationship or whatever, We need to say, you uncircumcised dog. You hadn't got no covenant. I'm the covenant one. And my covenant has already defeated everything you're trying to bring against me. So we've got to change the way we think. If I go into a fight knowing that I've already beat the tar out of somebody 3 or 4 times, I ain't going to be the least bit afraid of them, right? And that's the same. The devil has been defeated every time he's come up against the blood of Jesus. That's why whenever we go at the devil, we go at him under our covenant, under that blood, because he can't defeat the blood. There's nothing that he can do to overcome the blood. So, let's change the way we think. You know, like Bob Hackley said, he said, I learned a long time ago that I can learn more by listening than I can by talking. And you know what? When the devil brings something our way, and this, I really have to work with this because I used to have a bad temper. And I used, whenever something happened, I just used to just spout off. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. I'm teaching myself that when something happens, to not spout off. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I try to every day say, Lord, I thank you that my mouth is healed. I only say what you have me to say. Now, do I mess up? Oh, yeah. But am I forgiven? Oh, yeah. Am I righteous? Yeah. What I have to do? Well, Lord, forgive me. And what happens? I'm right back in right standing. If God doesn't remember my sins, why should I? The devil's the one that keeps reminding you, not God. God doesn't remind us of any of our shortcomings. Every time he reminds us of something, he reminds us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, Lauren, have you got any music whatsoever? Okay. Well, I'll pray. If anybody has anything they need to pray about, come up. But if not, just for just a little bit, just thank him for everything that you've got. Thank him for your health and your healing. Thank him that your storehouses are full. Thank him that because you're a tither, that you live under an open window of heaven, with a blessing poured out upon you that you do not have room enough to contain. Thank you that God rebukes the devourer for your sake, and no weapon formed against you can prosper. Thank him that you can resist the devil, and he has to flee from you. Well, Father, I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, I thank you that, Father, we don't have to be afraid of anything that we're up against, because you have made us a covenant promise that you'll be with us always. And Father, that you have already defeated all the works of the enemy. Father, we're not the sick trying to get healed. Father, we're the healed that the thief is trying to steal our health. And Father, we're not the poor trying to get blessed. We're the blessed that the devil's trying to steal our blessing. Father, I thank you for this body becoming covenant-minded. I thank you, Father, that we meditate on your word day and night. I thank you, Father, that we know that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And Father, I thank you that no matter what comes against us, that you are the one that has already defeated our enemy, and we just have to resist him. Father, I thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you that all things are possible to us because we believe. Now, Father, I pronounce the blessing of the Lord over each and every one here. Father, I thank you that because this is a giving body, Father, that they have all sufficiency and all that you call them to do every good work. Father, I thank you for health and healing, for long life, for satisfying us. Father, I thank you that we have been set free. And Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus not only protects us, but it guides us. And Father, it takes us right in to the very Holy of Holies. And Father, I thank you that we are fully confident that we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you might order to call Hedy's and see.